Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Another edition of the Chicago Way, Game of Thrones Way, or what do you call it? Castle of Thrones. Jeff Carlin, Will Lee, the Three-Eyed Raven. I can't even look at him because if you follow this, you know why. Marwa Altigori. Hello, Marwa.
Hi, John. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And John Cass, your mild-mannered, nationally syndicated columnist. Very humble that I am. Mm-hmm. Marwa, how do we deal with Will? You guys forgot the screen. We were going to put like some kind of sheet
right
between us and peg it to the ceiling, so I don't have to look into his three
engineering's
eyes.
Engineering's working on that maybe next week. Yes,
so harsh.
Yeah. Marwa didn't even. Poor Marwa was feeling bad, so she ill, so she wasn't here last week. When it was revealed, when Will self-revealed himself. That he self-spoiled everything for himself the whole season. First of all, Marwa, your comments on this.
You guys don't have anything to worry about. I'm the one who has to sit next to him for 40 hours a week. Every time I look up at him from my desk, I just shake my head. Mm-hmm.
Judgmentally.
He knew that you would be upset with him. You're not really upset. You're more hurt, aren't you?
I'm disappointed.
There you go.
Ooh.
That's it. That sticks.
That's good.
Right between the ribs.
Right between the ribs. Turn it a little bit. And let's get now, turn it as if it were a Valyrian dagger presented to my favorite character, Arya.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic segue, John.
Right? Okay. Episode 5. Let's get to it. Sure. What are the main things, Marwa? What are the main things that happen in this?
All right. Tarly's got burned. How do we feel about this?
I'm pro torching. She has to put her foot down.
Who was burned?
The Tarly.
Randall Tarly and my new favorite character, Dickon Tarly.
Dickon lasted 2 episodes that we saw.
He was too honorable, John.
He's just so noble. You can't hate him.
He stood up and he says, I refuse to bend the knee. And then his father like nodded like, please bend your knee. And he wouldn't
do it.
Don't
do it, dummy. Yeah.
So, okay. So
poor Samwell.
I know. And Sam has no idea.
Sam is now the heir. He is now the lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The lord of a great house.
Why not? And that's the whole thing, John. I don't know. I kind of feel like you would have followed your dad to his doom, too. You would have been like, I'm there with you. You know, I'm not going
to
give up.
When the Pasha came to the village, we would not kiss his hand, although others kissed the hand and waited. That's until they could cut the neck. That's the saying. Hmm. In the meantime, though, I know that's kind of Game of Thrones-ish, but
very
actually
much so.
Quite true. In the meantime, okay, so we saw little cute, diminutive Targaryen girl burn those two men alive. Burn them alive in front of others. Good or bad? Right or wrong? A ruler or not? Or a one that'll have problems? Jeff Carlin.
I think she had to do it. I'm with on that. I think she had to do it because she had to set the table and say, hey, listen, this is what you face. I mean, there can be stories about, oh, a dragon came down and it lit up thousands of soldiers. But people can't necessarily wrap their head around that. So I think to really instill what she is and to give fear, she's going to be able to put that out there and be like, this is what you risk.
I agree, but I do think that it's Tyrion is very traumatized by all of this dragon fire. There's the scene of him walking through the ashen, burned battlefield.
That was a really wonderful scene. Mm-hmm.
It was really
I mean, horrible, but
absolutely
well shot. Big, long, tracking shot. Looking like, Orson Welles or something.
He's conflicted, and I think that's what it is. Last week I talked about Jaime being scarred from seeing all of his, bannermen burned. I think Tyrion is very much, even though he's supposed to, go against his own family, to see it burned by Dragonflame, I think is so traumatic for him. And he just is feeling less than confident in himself right now because Daenerys has been going, actually asked a stranger his advice over his,
When you go to war what do you expect it to be? Like a bleeping game show? Like you turn it off and reset the button, then go get your ginger ale and chips and sit down for another game? No, there are actually people dying and getting killed. And he helped push it. He joined her. And what is he doing? Undercutting her power. He doesn't want her to kill anybody.
Right. He wants her to be the smart tactician, you know, like the what he felt that he was, you know, his best attribute.
What happened
were.
Then? And what happened to his tactical brain?
Well,
it
he
didn't,
had his,
it kind of flattened out, didn't
well,
it?
Well, Faces first got slashed open, and then he lost his wife and, you know, to his father, and then lost his freedom and a few other things. But, you know.
That's where whores go.
Well, but that's a good point, because it does take you to his meeting with his brother, because it's one of the first things he says to him. Oh, you outsmarted me. Did not see that coming. And he's like, you're just too good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was that scene, it was incredible. Jamie and his brother, just and the whole reconciliation of them. And I feel like, and it just hit me because Will's talking about how this has touched Tyrion, and so he's seen all this. You know, maybe his allegiance to his family isn't as gone, or his people isn't as gone as we think it is, and maybe he winds up turning on her.
Or is she turning on, you know, in one of the episodes, maybe the one before, she turned and said, enough with the plans. You've tried to protect. Mm-hmm. The Lannisters, you're trying to... the queen looks at Tyrion as if he's kind of doesn't want to go, you know, all in with her mm-hmm. on the war. Yes? Is this going to be a problem for him, Marwa?
I don't think so. I don't think he's turning on the Lannisters. I think he's very much devoted to Daenerys. I think he really believes in her. I think what he's trying to do is kind of rein in this sort of mad queen sense that we're supposed to be getting from her. And I think... My thing about this is I think Tyrion saw the side of Daenerys that wanted to convince people to follow her, that wanted to show people to follow her. And now she's kind of doing this thing where she's conquering and she's saying, you know, you got to bend the knee or die. And she's not going to take the time to explain it to people or show it to people like she did with the Unsullied and she did with the Dothraki and she did with the people of Meereen. So I think Tyrion is used to seeing her do this in a more diplomatic way, and now it's kind of, you know, an ultimatum that she's giving people, and he thinks that's too quick and too harsh. And I think the whole purpose of his thinking is to try to get us to think that maybe Daenerys is going to go down this mad queen path.
Yes, I think so. I agree. It's the teasing of this. Although, if she doesn't burn the Lord Tarly and his son in front of all, that'll get out. That gets out.
Right.
Either bend... or not. She showed mercy to the men. She didn't kill them. She said, join me or not. Right?
She gave them the choice, which was her the whole thing, which is her arguing down Tyrion. And, you know, it was great, though, to see her kind of coldness, you know, that she's a queen now and that she can turn it on and off.
You will not kneel?
I already have a queen.
You will not trade your honor for your life. I respect that.
I'm not here to put men in chains. If that becomes an option, many will take it. I gave them a choice. They made it.
Grace, you stop beheading entire
families.
I'm
not beheading anyone.
Are there any heroes in this show anymore?
Gendry. Gendry's a true hero.
Gendry's like a thug killer hero. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but are there any like leading characters that are men?
Well, that's
all the women. It's like a woman's thing.
Oh yeah, that's true.
All the women now. I couldn't believe. You know, where are the men?
I love that this has turned into like a female dominated show. Because this never happens. I'm so excited about it, and I know that Game of Thrones has gotten a lot of flack for the way that they've. Like, you know, portrayed women in previous seasons and some of the things that they've showed on TV. And I think that this is great that, you know, the main players in this game right now are all women. And Jon Snow.
Well, I think it's, I think the
I know, no, I'm glad too, because I think it's you know, why not? Because of the politics, like taking our politics and putting it on a medieval fantasy, but because the characters. It's natural for these characters as they evolve and grow to be the way they are. It's not like forced,
right?
Which I think is good writing.
Well, the women are the ones who are left behind. They're the ones who, while the men are being in charge, the women are the ones who have to kind of stick around and, you know, make sure these things are handled. And when the men die and pass around, then the most knowledgeable person might be the woman who's there beside it watching the whole thing. So I think that's...
Yeah, but these are ruling women. These aren't women. This isn't like, we're going to stitch you up, patch you up, bear your children, feed you, send you back out so you could conquer the world. These women are conquering the world. These are the conquerors.
Right.
So it's very interesting.
Yeah, and look at the main men in this show.
Littlefinger.
All of them have just gone north of the wall.
Okay, there you go. Dirty Dozen, north of the wall. I'm going to take the top men, in other words, the best.
Yeah.
All the leaders, we're going to go on a little picnic
scouting
to grab
trip.
White Walkers, how can you even grab one?
It's ragtag bunch, my friend.
This is Dirty Dozen.
It came together in a hurry. I mean, I love how it's like, oh, look, Jorah's here. Oh, just in time for us to go over the wall.
If you told me last week that Gendry and Jorah were going to go north of the wall together.
We thought we were high.
And also, and Tormund.
Yeah.
I mean, every single one of these people is so lovable. We don't want to see any of them die.
You know what's going to happen? So, aren't there some, like in Star Trek, like in Star Trek when they do a landing party, there's always one or two guys that you don't know what they're like. I don't have a name.
It's like
I'm going to die.
It's Yeoman Freeman. You know,
yeah, Yeoman Freeman,
Ensign One.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually, and right. they're turned to salt or something.
Right.
But in this, there are some people that are with them that aren't that we don't know.
Right. Oh, those like five people in the back that just didn't get any camera time.
Right, they're the ones who are going to die
first.
They're
carrying the dragon's glass, I guess.
But some of the heroes have. I mean, and plus, okay, based on what we know, how do you capture a White Walker?
Well, that's the whole thing. I think
with a cold trap,
They're just going for a white. I think. Just
I'm still not sure why they're doing this. Do you guys know really? Do you guys fully understand what the whole purpose of this is?
The idea is we take some. Bring them down to so that Cersei can see them, and then she'll join with Daenerys and everybody doing the right thing to go kill the walkers first.
Also, the MacGuffin.
I just don't think it's believable. The MacGuffin.
Oh God, the MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin. That's what it is. It's true. It's the idea that you know an entire dead person will survive a trip down to King's Landing intact and enough to
it
make
gets it gets warm down there. So the
they found
smelly.
A way to get to King's Landing and back pretty fast by now. So,
was it in the book or the program where one of the White Walkers attacks Jorah Mormont's father, the Lord of the Crows, and they send a hand that's still twitching and moving with, I think, Alistair Thorne to King's Landing, but nobody pays attention to him? Or is that in the book?
Right. It is in the book, and I think, I think in the show,
it's in the show too.
They mention it,
but the hand was did like stop moving and was decomposed by the time it got there.
They
referenced that they tried it once before, and it didn't exactly work. The hand died. I mean, the hand stopped.
The hand kind
it
of
rotted essentially.
Ew.
Right.
Yeah. Ooh, gross.
I don't know. I just think that everyone who's in this group of the Magnificent Seven who are going north.
Right,
I just think that they should all know. They all know Cersei. Cersei's not going to fall for this, but at the same time, she did tell Jaime that she wants to form some sort of alliance with Dany so that they could kind of attack her from within.
She wants to buy time,
to buy time.
I'm not completely sold that this is something that is worth it for all of them to just drop everything.
There's something else.
Including Daenerys. Daenerys would be on board with this. Like, oh, yeah, bring a White Walker or bring a White to Cersei and we'll go from there.
Again,
I'm not sure I'm sold on it.
Again, I'm afraid to look at Will. But the two things we've forgotten in this story. He's not Jon Snow, is he? He's Jon Targaryen.
And he's not even a bastard now that we know about this annulment that Gilly happened to come across.
Right, like
that Samwell shot down.
Wait, she's barely literate. She's finally reading words with big books with big words and no pictures. And then she finds this thing in the middle of Sam. Oh, Sam, there's like 15,000 steps in the Citadel and somebody took 15,000 bowel movements or something. And
right,
back and
right,
forth
right.
They're talking. And then she drops this in. Oh, by the way, there was a maester. There was a secret marriage that was annulled, and then a secret marriage between Rhaegar Targaryen and Lyanna Stark producing a son. Yes or no?
Yeah, she didn't say Lyanna Stark, but I think we can pretty much infer at this point. Mm-hmm. Gilly's just really good at finding the exact right books.
Isn't it? And then, so he's the rightful king. So he has a greater claim than Daenerys does. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yep, so she's going to have to marry him.
They're cousins.
Nah, it's okay.
Hey, not right. cousins, just aunt and nephew.
It's so like from another planet.
It really is.
Or another state.
Or another time, really.
Well done, John.
Right?
Hey-o.
If I don't return, at least you won't have to deal with the king in the north anymore.
I've grown used to him.
I wish you good fortune in the wars to come, Your Grace.
Something else happened before we get into John running. There was a letter.
Mm-hmm.
Arya thinks she's very crafty. She's watching Littlefinger up in Winterfell. She's watching him. She's studying him. She sees him talking to someone. He looks up, and she's not there. She thinks that she's crafty. She follows Littlefinger to his apartments, and there outside the door, the Maester of Winterfell comes with a letter and says, Littlefinger says, is this the only copy? And then leaves it in his room. Arya breaks in, finds it. And as she leaves with the letter that Sansa wrote a long time ago, it's Littlefinger in the corner in the shadow watching. He planted this letter. He knew she would steal it. What does it say? What's the significance?
Well, the letter is the letter that Sansa actually wrote in the first season to her family, asking that he father bend the knee so that he would be spared. And I think the idea is that Littlefinger wanted, knowing that Arya, how she feels about her family, that it would turn her against her sister.
I agree. I think that's the whole purpose of it. I really hope we don't go down this path. I think Arya is smarter than this. I mean, it seems like, especially after the great reunion we got last episode, it seems like it's kind of just a distraction from everything that's happening for Arya and Sansa to get into this little fight over something that happened so long ago, over circumstances that Arya should completely understand. Sansa didn't have a choice but to write that letter.
She was a young girl. Hostage. She was forced to write the letter that said to her father, saying, right. bend the knee right. so that we're not traitors, right? Isn't that
exactly?
Yeah.
Well, couldn't also this be being used to prove that Littlefinger's trying to, you know, protect Sansa? Like, this is he specifically asks, is this the only copy of this? And if he has it and he's like, well, I was going to destroy it so that this would never get out there,
he covers himself.
Right. So he could use that to his advantage to say, oh, no, you know, try to rebuild some of their trust and then turn on them.
Now, we have how many episodes left?
Two.
Two.
Two. No!
And we know the next one is mostly going to take place north of the wall, I think. I think it's going to be like another hard home style right. episode, which I'm so excited
with
for.
With seven guys?
Seven guys we love.
Seven guys we love against what? Like a 10,000?
Oh, more than that.
More than that. Way more than
way
that.
Way more than that. Like tenfold that.
There's a hunt. Like all the north is now dead and they're walking south. Mm-hmm. There's no way to stop them. I thought they couldn't cross the wall.
It's kept them out for thousands of years.
No, but I mean, there's magic
time.
In the wall,
right?
So it can't, like, Brendan Stark. It's not Brendan Stark.
Benjen
Stark, the uncle, Theo Benjen, as we call him at my house. He couldn't cross the wall,
right?
So can they? How do they do it? The walkers. I thought the magic kept them out.
Well, that's the whole. That's the weird. It's the strange part about all of this is that everyone. It's like it's this meeting at the wall, like where you know as close as they can get. It's like a standoff. What's going to happen? How will they get past? Will
because
they get past?
There'll be if there's 100,000, as Jeff says, they just all die and then build like a mountain of dead walkers, and then the other ones cross over, right?
I think that if they want to grab one, I think the best thing they do they should get one of those build a doohickey like those old video machines where you try to get the prize
and claw.
The claw and you reach down grab
but it
one.
Has to be Valyrian steel.
Absolutely.
What about a Trojan White Walker or a white? They pretend like they're no. Can they smell?
Are they
like zombies?
I'm sorry, I had another thought in my mind altogether about what you were going.
Oh my.
You know, but yes, okay. But, something where they couldn't touch others, in other words.
I like the claw idea. I'm picturing like a fishing pole going over the wall.
There you go.
It's pretty cool.
So what happens in the next episode?
It's going to be really interesting just because I keep wondering how do you... It's going to take them a while to get from Dragonstone to a wall, you think. So it'll be like, what, at least 15 minutes? So how are they going to space this out? I wonder if there's going to be any bonding between these seven unlikely... you know, characters together. Will they start to like each other in this time, and then
they will respect each other, right? Won't they? They're all they're the ones who are the true knights.
I don't think any of them have a really, really, really strong reason to hate another person. I mean, yes, Tormund didn't like Commander Mormont, and Gendry obviously didn't like the Brotherhood Without Banners. But I don't think that these. I don't think there's such a strong reason for them to just
did
absolutely
Jorah notice,
despise each other. And not
did Jorah notice that his friend Jon Snow is carrying something that rightfully belongs to him? Yeah. Longclaw, right?
Yeah, probably.
The Valyrian steel, with which he killed one of the, what are they, the lords of the Nightwalkers, the yeah, generals.
Right, he killed one of those. And I think, you know...
Is he going to have to give it back? Is he going to say... Did Jorah say anything? Like, give me my sword back?
No, it's not have to. He can do whatever he wants.
Jorah's been really bad about saying things this episode. The one thing that irked me so much was that there were, like, three separate times where he talked to Daenerys, and I don't understand why she didn't ask him, how did you get cured? I wanted so badly for him to say, oh, this guy's Samwell Tarly, and then for her to be like, oh, the Tarlys? And for Jon to be like, Samwell Tarly cured you? That would have been awesome. And they just completely
blew it.
I think they're holding back on that. I think that's something.
I hope so.
There's a bigger role there because it seems too much.
Mine was absolutely
too much of an
correct. They should have
that's
done
what
that
I
right
thought,
there.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my god, she's gonna know,
and then he's gonna know, and then she goes, oh, by the way, what happened with your? You were stabbed in the heart. Oh, just a figure of speech.
Oh, well, Will has a good theory on this.
Ooh. Well,
is it a theory?
I don't think you can trust it.
Yeah, I know.
Is it a hypothesis he's just going to prove?
It's just a theory, you guys. It's just a theory. It was the idea.
He's such a Mephistopheles now.
It's the idea of three. It's the rule of three. It's that when he first mentioned it, when Davos mentioned it in the second episode, she noted it. Daenerys noted it. And then the next episode of that, she asked him about it, which was interrupted. By Ser Jorah's.
And she asked it again.
Right, exactly. So my idea is, since she noted it and she mentioned it, at some point he's going to have to show her. But in what situation?
Oh yeah, he does.
Right. Oh yeah.
But at what point does he have to show? You know, a scarred his chest. You know what I mean? So I just keep
first
wondering.
There was this one, then there was this one, right. And then she's going to kiss each one.
Can
better.
I see your scars? Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's... Like that.
So that's what I think. It's a bonding thing.
You weren't gone long.
No.
And?
And I have fewer enemies today than I did yesterday. You're not sure how you feel about that?
No, I'm not.
How many men did your army kill taking Winterfell back from the Boltons?
Thousands.
We both want to help people. We can only help them from a position of strength. Sometimes strength is terrible.
Speaking of bonding, Mr. Jon Snow and the dragon, how awesome was that?
Oh, fantastic.
I loved it.
What does it tell us? He is a Targaryen. But besides that, what does she think? She's the mother, and she's warging somehow. She can feel the dragon's emotions through this. She knows that this dragon likes
her. She's a single mother of two dragons, and she's brought a new man to her life. And they're three dragons, rather. And they're connecting with the new man in her life, and they seem to be getting along.
And the short little uncle also was with the kids. Exactly. The other two kids in the
neighbor
basement,
down the hall.
And he fed the kids and loved them and took care of them.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like they like mom's new boyfriend. That's exactly what it is.
Who gets to, of the three, because what we're leading to is that Tyrion also was able to be with the dragons.
Right.
And John, and that's it. And Daenerys. They're the only three people that can even approach a dragon.
And is Tyrion, has that been confirmed, or do we know that for real that he's, or is that...
Okay, you want to hear the theory of the Cass boys, Spiro and Peter, came up with this theory. Tywin Lannister's wife was assaulted by...
The Mad King.
The Mad King. And therefore, that's why... Tywin Lannister hated his son.
Mm. Yeah, that's the big theory.
Is that the theory?
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm, it, that's it why. And there's something. This is going pretty kind of. This is a bit obscure, but the world of Ice and Fire, which is like the encyclopedia about this whole world that George R. R. Martin wrote, he went out of his way to mention that Joanna Lannister used to go to King's Landing a lot to see the Mad King, but that she was dismissed by the Mad King's wife because she was the Mad King's wife's handmaiden. I think, is that correct, Will?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she was gone for a while, and then she had Cersei and Jaime, and she came back to King's Landing, during which the Mad King told her that she looked awful because he said something about her breasts because she was like breastfeeding Jaime and Cersei, something like that. And then
pig.
I know this is just so
mad man.
Yeah. And so the theory is that 1 year after that, Tyrion was born. So they think that that recent trip where where Joanna went to King's Landing and the Mad King said all this awful stuff to her.
That's why he would violate her then?
He actually later that day or later during that visit violated her and Tyrion was born.
And that's why Tywin knew about it and hated his son.
Exactly.
But he couldn't kill his son.
So Tyrion and Daenerys are half siblings.
So then.
Right?
Who gets to ride? Okay.
So that would change him having any sort of sympathy for the Lannisters. And what if he knew? He would.
No,
so he's going to find out and then he's going to flip and it's
respect
be,
for the Lannisters.
Right.
Respect for Tyrion's mind. No sympathy. But since Jon is the rightful king, doesn't he get to ride the Black Dragon?
Drogon.
When I grew up in a culture of, where it wasn't a matriarchal culture. Let's just put it that way. Okay, I didn't grow up typically American. Jon would get the big dragon. She would get the smaller one. She'd get the nicer one, you know, the sleeker one. But he would drive.
Yeah, but you forget she's the mother of dragons.
So she would ride one.
She's the one who brought these creatures to life after 1,000 years. Well, I think Daenerys.
Okay,
yeah.
She keeps the dragon.
I'm with Marwa.
All right, now I will be with Marwa too because I don't want anybody to be mad at me. And okay, so she gets to keep the dragon. Tyrion gets to ride one.
Right.
Who's the other one that if Jon doesn't ride one, does the other one just fly up to the wall by himself?
Can I throw out a strange and just completely conspiratorial thought?
Please.
What if...
if we can trust you.
You can trust me, totally. What if Daenerys becomes pregnant by Jon and therefore cannot ride Drogon? So therefore, Jon has to ride Drogon in her stead while she's, having...
So who's the third one?
Tyrion.
There's three dragons.
Jon, Tyrion, and then...
Did Will tell us something that are we going to say that there's only two dragons now? That means one dies?
Will? These are all possibilities.
That'd be crazy.
Okay, so, but they haven't even done the earth has not moved for either one of them yet, correct?
I think that's
yeah.
Jon is not, and Daenerys have not had...
No.
Relations.
Right. No, no. But it's there.
And they're not going to have relations because he's north of the wall.
Right. For now.
So as he's running in the trailer, he's running away. Right?
Yeah, it looks like it.
He's running desperately with all the zombies behind him. He gets to the wall, and that's when he's about to die. And who comes flying over the wall? You know, that sound like the, I'm not supposed to do
I
it.
I love that pre-torching noise.
Yeah, don't
do.
You?
It's awesome.
Oh, yeah,
my family said, don't say it, don't do that sound, but that's that sound. So he's running towards the wall and come over the wall towards him, comes Daenerys Stormborn on Drogon and starts torching. This is what I hope to see. Torching the dead or the undead, whatever they're called.
I think that would be awesome. Here's my thing, though. So back to this whole capturing a white thing, which I'm so sorry. I just don't get it.
It's like going to Dorne. Like, stop it with
it. It's like going to Dorne.
It's the same kind of, yeah.
Why can't Daenerys just take her dragon north of the wall, and then the dragon just scoops up a white and then flies it back to King's Landing? Why is that not something that's a possibility?
That's a good idea.
Why do all of our favorite characters have to go risk their lives to capture a white?
It would save a lot of time.
Right?
It would.
It's like 20 minutes. You could eat a sandwich. You know, you could. I'm going to make a sandwich for the guys and make a steak sandwich, and then she goes up, gets the white, and comes back. It's like half an hour. Right.
It's an excellent idea. Although, you know, couldn't Drogon, wouldn't he crush, like, the white and his mighty claws on the way, you know, on a two-hour
trip? No, they can be very delicate. But then what do? You have to have a cage for them. And if you get one of the generals, is there any kind of – what are those things called?
Those are the others, the White Walkers.
The others. If you get a other, that'll really prove it.
The thing is, they're stronger, they're quicker, and their skin is ice.
Can you keep them anywhere? Can you hold them in a cage?
That's the whole thing.
Unless you have a cage of obsidian.
Right.
No?
That'd be an excellent question.
Death is the enemy. The first enemy and the last. The enemy always wins.
All right, so... any last thoughts on, before we go, on people that are going to disappoint us in Game of Thrones?
Well, I have a last thought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's people disappointing us because Cersei's been disappointing us for forever, but can we talk about the fact that she's pregnant real quick?
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Rosemary's baby? What is that?
Did that just seem like it was something? I was telling Will and Jeff this earlier, like something out of an ABC network show. Like, let's make Cersei pregnant. Here's this great idea.
Although I do wonder if she would want to get pregnant. All of her children is gone. She doesn't want the legacy to be gone. And they know that they're at the end of their rope. There are no heirs for the Lannister dynasty.
Or is she lying? You wouldn't put it past her because she said it so casually.
I thought she was lying too. Yeah.
Like one of the oldest cliches, right? I mean, it's a cliche.
I think it's Qyburn.
I'm burying your...
Qyburn's her physician and her hand, and he kind of is the one who is there to give her all the information, personal and everything. She's the one person I think she truly...
He's going to die. He's got to go.
He's going to go, okay?
He's just too much of a weasel.
Oh, he's great.
But yeah. When she says, she just touches her... lower stomach and says, and we must fight for this. Not like Jamie, I'm having a baby. You know, nothing.
Right.
Just like we must fight for this because this is power and we must keep our power. The way she approached it was sad.
Was it supposed to make us more sympathetic of Cersei because she's carrying a child? Like now people don't want to see Cersei die because she's pregnant?
Is the actress pregnant and they had to do that to cover up the...
I think it makes her more desperate. I think it makes her more desperate to be a queen who's trying to keep everything she has and the last child that she may ever have. And, you know, it also
plays into the fact that she wants to. She was looking for a pause here. She wants to buy time, whether it's to bring in reinforcements that she can hire in the form of mercenaries, or have a child who will then be the quote unquote heir to the throne. There,
if we know anything, it's the second to the last episode of Game of Thrones is always like a huge episode. No?
Yeah.
Episodes are what made the word penultimate like part of my vocabulary.
And then, which means that the one after that is kind of a what?
Well, they kind of broke the mold on that last year when they did the destruction of the Sept. I think that now they've kind of upped the ante. So now who knows what could be happening?
You know? Mm-hmm. Well, but yeah, traditionally, like the it's always been the ninth episode, but the second last episode is always awesome.
Well, I can't wait for the awesomeness. Everyone, hope you listen to this. Listen to it. Don't text each other in the middle of it. Will, I mean, Mara, you can't text Will in the middle anymore, do you?
I don't text Will at all anymore.
Oh, Will.
Anger.
Not anger. Disappointment.
Disappointment.
He is the three-eyed raven. Yeah. Don't look into that eye.
And we're never going to forgive you
Either. We're going to just burn you for the whole 2 weeks.
You guys are just jealous. That's all it is.
Jeff Carlin, Marwa El-Taghouri, Will Lee, John Cass, Game of Thrones, watch it. And if you haven't watched it by now, you better start because we're going to talk about it. See you soon.